You're listening to Youth Beat Radio. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. On today's show, contributor Kevin Murray tells a nightmarish camping story, and Madison Neans explains how she trained for a half marathon in 2.5 months. Then, Katie Capusta shares appreciation for her childhood role model, and Armand Ranath pushes himself to run the dreaded Cooper test. But first, Bridget Cruz interviews Samantha Werner about her dream trip to Italy in search of information about her great-grandfather.
Hello, I'm Bridget Cruz, and I sat down with Samantha Werner, a recent graduate of The Ohio State University, to talk about her travels abroad. She went to France and Italy.
Hi, I'm Samantha Werner. I wanted to travel abroad to Italy. It's been a long time dream to basically be Italian, speak Italian, and also find my great-grandfather's birth certificate in case I want to become a citizen.
Hey, Samantha, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome, Bridget. Happy to be here.
All right, so my first question for you is, when and why did you decide to travel around the world?
I first started taking language lessons in Italian when I was in grade school. My mom would take me once a week to the Italian church. We sang, you know, repeated the colors, introductions. We even did a play at the end of the year. And so then I studied in high school and college, and I figured, what's the best way to use this? I'm going to go to Italy.
What was your around-the-world itinerary, and were there any, like, must-see sites that you had to experience?
There were no must-see sites. There were lots of must-see people, and the sites were just, they happened to be there. There were a lot of cities. I'll try to summarize the main ones. Started Torino, Casale Monferrato, Milan, Modena, Treviso. Ended in Siena, which is a city in Tuscany. And it's a walking town. Lots of hills. Beautiful, beautiful medieval scenery.
So what was your most memorable moment of the trip?
Right now, because we're in the dead of winter, I'm going to say spending a week on the beach in Pietrasanta, which is a northern city in Tuscany. And in every direction you looked, in one direction, there were mountains. In another direction, clear blue sky. Another direction, picturesque little city. And then there's the ocean, so most memorable.
Why did you come back?
The weather did change eventually. It did get cold, so.
Okay, that's reason enough. What is the best day you had on your trip?
So, my most memorable day included this experience meeting a man named Nespilo. The weather wasn't exactly desirable. It was cloudy, rainy, and I walked to the, it's called an anagrafe, an office to find family history information, and they directed me to this man's house. I don't even know who he is. I rang his doorbell. He comes hobbling out. He has a cane. He can't really hear me. I'm trying to speak Italian, but his hearing just isn't working, and so he invites me inside, and he's got this office in the back of his house filled with all these papers and files, and he gets on his computer, and he asks me my great-grandfather's name, and he enters the name into this research database, and unfortunately, he only has records for the years before my great-grandfather was born. But he ended up helping me find the contact information for the local priest who most likely would have had my great-grandfather's baptism certificate, and oh, we just laughed, and I think he was just a lonely old guy, so I was kind of glad I got to visit him and talk, and showed him some YouTube videos, and we had a good afternoon together, and I ended up getting an email several weeks later of my great-grandfather's birth certificate from the office, so it worked out well. It was an adventure for the day.
So why did you want to find your grandfather's birth certificate?
I have been thinking about becoming an Italian citizen because I love to travel. I want to live in another place. I'm eligible for Italian citizenship through my family. And I would one day love to have an international career. So I think having a European passport might be handy.
What was the scariest thing that happened to you?
Well, I'd heard about people who spend the night at airports, and I figured to save myself some money, I'd spend the night at the Florence airport. Well, I didn't realize how small the Florence airport was or that it closed at 9:30 p.m. at night. I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking straight. Anyways, there was no hotel nearby and I didn't secure a place to sleep, so I figured I'll just find a place in the grass nearby or a bus stop or something, but actually being in that situation proved to be a bit more dangerous than I initially expected. So I ended up finding a forested area, you know, some bushes where I didn't think anyone would see me and I wouldn't see them, and trying to sleep there for the evening. What I didn't realize is that because it was also so close to the airport parking lot, there were several taxi drivers going by that area. And in the wee hours of the morning, they needed a place to go to the bathroom. And for some reason, the spot that I had chosen seemed to be ideal for relieving themselves. So in the middle of me trying to sleep on my bag, stay out of sight, I heard this tinkling water sound behind me. And I don't know if they saw me or not. I'm sure if someone had seen me, they would have just been surprised to see a person lying there. It was a little scary. I don't think I'll ever do that again. I made it through the night. No one bothered me. I didn't bother anyone. Bonjour, mon cher. Comment ça va? Ça va. Bien, merci. Merci. Mon cher, comment está? Mon cher, vin tomar un café à boubouille. Did you meet a lot of interesting people or make a lot of friends through your travel experiences? I did. Couchsurfing was one way to do that. One of my favorite couchsurfing hosts happened to be a radiologist who worked for the U.S. Air Base in Aviano. And I had never seen an air base before. I'd never seen a military base before. This was just fascinating. And he was such an intelligent, kind person. We had so much fun together. So I made a really good friend. I'm excited to keep in touch with him. He'll be back in the States in a couple of years, and we've been emailing back and forth. I also got the chance to meet my Italian teacher's cousin. She referred me to him. He has his own organization called Vivere con Cura, which means living with care, all about natural health. He was just this vibrant, spunky, hippie, colorful, compassionate person. Loved being around him.
I know for myself, couch surfing is, like, extremely, like, scary.
You've had negative experiences with couch surfing?
Well, I've never done it.
Oh,
but
well
I guess
then.
My assumption about couch surfing is, like, whoa, you're going to stranger's house, you're sleeping in their furniture, you could come across a weirdo.
Of course, but like a job, you have to do your research. Pretend you're hiring someone for a job. You want to read their experiences, check their references. Same thing with couch surfing. So it's best to do it as far in advance as possible. Sometimes, I know for myself, I often ended up finding last-minute hosts, and I always made sure that if I were to ever feel I was in a dangerous situation or just didn't feel safe, that I had enough money that I could find a hotel. I never needed to do that. My first couchsurfing experience was in Paris, because I didn't know anyone in Paris. I found her online, made sure she spoke English. I read her profile, and it sounded like we had a lot of things in common. She left her key for her. She gave me directions from the train station to her house. I got there, to her apartment. She said she was at work, but she left a key for me under her doormat. I got into her apartment. She said I could take a shower. She came back home, and she said, oh, we're going on a picnic. We're going to go meet my boyfriend. So she took me. We walked past Notre Dame. There's the Seine River. On the other side was the Louvre. And we put down a little blanket and sat all night. She prepared a picnic for me, and I talked with her and her boyfriend. They told me all about Paris and then made sure I got to where I needed to be safely the next day. And we were wonderful hosts. It was a great experience.
So what type of information are you given on this couch surfing website?
You can provide as much or as little information on your couch surfing profile as you would like. It's easier to find a host or to be a host the more information you provide. And you want to be picky. You want to be choosy whether you're hosting or surfing. People will tell about their interests, maybe a job, their travel experiences. If they're a host, they'll tell you what you can expect from them, what they expect from you. And you'll message back and forth. getting to know them. You'll read their references. People will say if they've surfed or hosted with them and how the experience went.
Any tips for people interested in trying it out?
Yeah, make a profile. Get involved in your local couch surfing community. Meet people in your own community first. Get involved with them. Even try couch surfing in your own city. And do it as far in advance as you can.
And what website should people go to, or what website did you use?
Couchsurfing.org.
Poi d'improvviso venivo dal vento rapito e incominciavo a volare nel cielo infinito. Volare.
So how have you changed from this experience?
Oh, this experience was incredibly important because it helped me appreciate my city. I couldn't believe before I left for Italy, I was very dismissive of Columbus, wanted nothing to do with it. And it helped me appreciate everything that I have at home. So now it helped me be in the present moment. I'd always been planning for this trip. I've been living for it for so long. Always, literally, my heart has been in Italy for all of these years. And so now I can finally live in my own city, which is a good feeling.
How did the experience make you want to live in Columbus?
Because I got to stay with so many different families, every week, every weekend, every few days, I got to see a new way of life, whether it was the way they ate, the stores they went to, how they talked with each other, the clothes they wore, the neighbors they had. And I got to pick bits and pieces of, okay, this is what I want my life to be. This is who I want to be. This is a job I might like to have. So I kind of have been puzzle piecing together what I want my life to be here in Columbus, which is helping me to be present, to be an active participant, and really create my life the way I see it.
What advice could you give other people who are traveling?
Save money. I've been saving for this trip for years, and that's made it all possible. That made it possible for me to travel from city to city without really thinking too much about planning in the future. And also, I was wise when I traveled. I asked advice of people who were from that city and took it to heart, and having money helps.
Well, I appreciate you for taking time out of your day, so thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Bridget.
Je me baladais sur l'avenue, le cœur ouvert à l'inconnu. J'avais envie de dire bonjour à n'importe qui, et ce fut toi. Je t'ai dit n'importe quoi, il suffisait de te parler pour t'apprivoiser. Aux Champs-Élysées, aux Champs-Élysées, au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit, il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées.
Samantha was able to rough it for at least one night in Italy, but in second grade, Upper Arlington junior Kevin Murray was not so keen on the outdoors. He shares the story of his two sleepless days camping with his Boy Scout troop.
It all began when I decided to join Boy Scouts in second grade. I thought it was going to be a fun activity I could do with my friends until I realized something. There were outdoor camping trips involved. I understand that some people enjoy camping in nature, but it's just not for me. I don't like camping because of the intense weather conditions and amount of insects crawling everywhere. There was one particular camping trip my troop went on that was just miserable. The location was called Camp Lazarus, and it was a memory that has stuck with me for years. I arrived at Camp Lazarus and was told to set up a tent. I had no idea how to set up a tent, so I told one of the older guys to help out and luckily got a tent up in time to sleep. The first night was dreadful. Two beds were set up in my tent for me and my friend to sleep on. As soon as I lay down on my cheap, airy mattress, I felt something tickling my arm. I looked down in my half-asleep daze to see a daddy long-legged spider creeping up my arm. I am more afraid of spiders than anything I can imagine, so you can probably assume I was in a bit of a panic. It was more than a panic. I immediately jumped up from my bed and screamed like a little girl. That woke up my friend, who was sleeping silently next to me. My friend, who actually enjoys camping, looked at me, smashed the spider with a shoe, and went back to sleep. The rest of that night, I could not sleep and was constantly looking around for any other sign of spiders. Eventually, the sun rose and I got up from my sleepless night to find that outside there were daddy long-legged spiders all over the campgrounds. Wherever I walked, there were spiders crawling on my shoes. It was as if I was in a constant nightmare. So far, this camping trip was horrible, and all I wanted to do was go home. I was so tired from the sleepless night that I probably looked like a zombie wobbling down the path, not sure where to go. Suddenly, I realized that I needed to go to the bathroom really bad, except I couldn't find any sign of a bathroom. I couldn't even find signs of civilization. Some camp counselors and troop leaders gathered everyone together and, of all things, sent us on a hike. Supposedly, it was a fun thing to do right after waking up. The only thing that didn't make this situation like army boot camp was the trumpet that woke everyone up. One of the older guys saw me struggling as I almost just collapsed on the ground and helped me up. He looked at me and said, "Hey little man, keep trucking along, you can do it." I managed to finish the hike without passing out or falling off a cliff, and when we arrived back at camp, there was a delicious lunch waiting for us. I was pretty hungry and excited for the food, but was 10 times more excited that we were eating inside. Lunch ended and we went swimming in the pool to cool ourselves down from the blazing summer sun. Things were improving and I actually managed to produce a smile while swimming until I heard that we were going to leave our tents behind and sleep under the stars that night. They tried to make it sound pleasant by saying, "sleep under the stars," but that really meant we were sleeping on the cold, hard ground in the sticky, wet grass in an unsafe, open field while bugs crawled all over our bodies. I didn't have a choice, so that night I went through the woods to an open field and set up my sleeping bag on the grass under a massive tree. Another sleepless night ended. The next morning, I was ready to go home. I hadn't gone to the bathroom, slept, or showered in about a day and a half. My parents arrived to take me home, and they were shocked to see me wearing the same clothes that I was wearing when they left me 2 days ago. The next week, I quit Boy Scouts, and to this day, I realize I made a good choice.
You're listening to Youth Beat Radio. In 2010, Madison Means, now a junior at Upper Arlington High School, decided to run a half marathon for the first time. 2.5 months before the big day, she began training. She shares how she got motivated to take on such a huge challenge.
I never thought I could run a half marathon. I had run cross country in middle school, but those races were only 2.1 miles. I had to do that about times six. I figured if I wasn't going to do a fall sport, then why not set my goal for something else? Running has never been a problem for me. I've participated in the Turkey Trot 5-mile race on Thanksgiving Day for the past 4 years. I usually run the Race for the Cure in May, and growing up, I have always involved myself in athletics. I have tried everything, cross-country, golf, soccer, swimming, tennis, and lacrosse. My family is full of passionate sports fans and avid athletes. My dad played golf in college, my mom was an OSU cheerleader, and one of my brothers went on to play college football. We have all been bred to participate and love sports since a young age. I was no exception. I can remember growing up and cheering my mom on in marathons, triathlons, or whatever race she was running. She inspired me to train for my half. I thought if she could do it, so could I. When summer rolled around and lacrosse season was over, I was just excited for some relaxation. The thought of running 13 miles in October was not even crossing my mind. On a typical summer morning, I would wake up and work out at the gym, then spend all day at the pool. Although I was not in my best physical condition, that doesn't mean I was letting myself get out of shape. At the end of July, all my friends began their two-a-days for their sports. That motivated me to get on schedule. I said to myself, I was going to run this thing. I looked up on the Columbus Half Marathon website to see if they had any running schedules. Sure enough, they did. I pulled out a giant calendar and began my training schedule and countdown. The race would be held on Sunday, October 16th, 2010, so I had about 2.5 months to work my way up to 13 miles. The schedule consisted of running a constant pace, approximately 3 to 4 miles, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Saturday would be approximately 7 to 9 miles, and Sunday was the long runs, which were 9 to 12 miles. I had Monday and Friday off. I was not planning on running with anyone else, so this made training difficult. To make things easier, I would try to go out for my runs early, before it got too hot. Sometimes running with my dog, and always a good pump-up mix on my iPod. To mix things up, I would often run on trails to have an interesting scenery and something to keep my mind preoccupied. Having a busy schedule and no accountability, I have to admit I went astray from my training schedule a couple times. although before I knew it, the busy week was here. Friday, October 14th was my birthday, Saturday the 15th was homecoming, and Sunday at 8 a.m. was my race. I did not get much sleep that weekend or nourish my body as I should have. The night before, I was up until 1 a.m. when my brother told me he was going to run with me. I thought he was crazy. He hadn't been training at all, so how was he going to do this? However, we both did. We had no specific time we wanted to reach, we just wanted to run the whole thing. In approximately 2 hours and 45 minutes, we did it. At times, especially around the 10th mile, I thought I couldn't do it, but I persevered through it. At the end, I could not have ran anymore. I was nauseated and had shooting pain in my back. It took me about 30 minutes to feel myself again and feel energized and refreshed. Then I was ready to go. I could not believe my brother Andy had did it. Andy now wants to run a full marathon, and that day he said he even could have kept going. He's crazy. I'm so glad I did it, and I feel proud of myself for accomplishing a goal of mine. I plan to participate in more half marathons in the future, maybe even a full marathon one day.
Next up, Upper Arlington Junior Katie Capusta reflects on happy days with her babysitter, surrogate sister, and role model, Jessie.
What does it take to be a good role model for younger kids? Smart, kind, outgoing? For me, our family friend Jessie was all this and more for me as a child, and still is now. My mom came home one hot August afternoon to Jessie watching my older brother Matt. My mom was crying and extremely pregnant. She had just gotten home from a doctor's appointment, and the doctor had told her it was time for her to deliver. The next day I was born, and Jessie was one of my many visitors. Since then, I've always looked up to her. Being 12 years older, Jessie had great advice for me as I've grown up. She was our main babysitter, and we always had the best of times with her. From baking to going to COSI to reading books in different accents, we always seemed to have a great time. Some of these times are my favorite childhood memories. When Jessie grew older and went to college, we always seemed to be one of her first stops once she got home. We were her second family and the sister I never had. When Jessie was a junior in college, she even invited my brothers and me to Sibs weekend. It was nothing out of the ordinary. We were like her younger siblings. When Jessie graduated college and I was just entering the fifth grade, she got a teaching job in Phoenix, Arizona. No wonder she got a job right away. Everyone loved being around her and she was great with kids. When I heard the news, I was extremely happy for her, but I couldn't help but think if we were ever going to see her. I cried that night. I felt as if I was going to lose my role model, best friend, and sister in a blink of an eye. Sure enough, Jessie wasn't able to make it home that often. The trip was just too expensive and too far. That's when my family came up with the idea for us to go out there. So on Thanksgiving of my sixth grade year, we decided to make the big trip out there. Phoenix was awesome. It was warm, sunny, and of course, Jessie was there. We decided to return the next year, and now it has become our tradition. This past Thanksgiving was our sixth year going to visit her. We've been able to watch her grow, moving from a one-bedroom apartment to a house, meeting the man of her dreams and marrying him this past summer in Ohio, and becoming my confirmation sponsor. I am so blessed to have such a great role model in my life. I can talk to Jessie about anything, and I know she is always there to listen to me. I hope I can be a good role model to a young girl, because even if I was half as great as Jessie is to me, I would make her one very, very happy
girl. In order to make it onto the Upper Arlington Junior-Varsity A soccer team during his sophomore year, Armand Ramnath, pushed by his father, ran daily, attempting to shave off the precious seconds that would determine whether or not he passed the pivotal Cooper test.
It was my second year. No longer a freshman, I swaggered into the summer soccer meeting confidently. As an incoming sophomore, I was assured a starting spot on the Junior Varsity A, JVA team due to the skill and the infallibility complex I possessed. But as Coach Bixel read aloud the upcoming schedule, something terrible happened as July seeded into August. August 4th is the final conditioning day, and then August 7th is the Cooper test, he stated, unaware of the collective shudder that passed across the room. I forgot about the Cooper, one horror-struck junior exclaimed. What's the Cooper? Asked a freshman, drawing the scorn of those around him. I too had forgotten about the Cooper test, 2 miles in less than 13 minutes for JVA time. If anything was the obstacle to success, this was it, as I had finished in well over 14 minutes last year. A month after the meeting, I continued to mope around the house, resigned to my new fate, a life without high school soccer. My father took action, dragging me outside to run a practice Cooper. Forget about your time, he stated, just run. When I finished the 2 miles, or 4 laps around the block, I was told my time, 14:11. much too long for JVA. However, my dad had a plan. Day after day, he forced me out of bed in the early morning to run, even though I had no chance of beating the 13-minute threshold. 13:56, he barked, 4 days into my training. 4 days in, and already 15 seconds less? But a week later, my time had not budged. I had failed. With only 3 more weeks before the day of the test, it would be impossible to shave 56 seconds off my time. Yet we continued. If you couldn't do this, I wouldn't be pushing you, my dad told me before our next run. I'm trying to show you that 13 minutes is possible with work. I still did not believe in my chances, but a feeling of pride, dormant throughout the summer, kicked in and made me want to push myself on every run. I became driven by the thought of accomplishing this goal. When finished for the day, I would hobble into the car, gingerly moving my body as waves of soreness washed upon me. Still, my fatigue had its merits, as my times began to drop. August 7th arrived. I finished in 12 minutes and 56 seconds. Sucking in great breaths of air like a vacuum pump and doubled over with exhaustion, I witnessed a parade of athletes cross the finish line after me, all taking over 13 minutes. I had avoided being a member of this parade and instead created a different fate thanks to my practice and perseverance. I know there will be many Cooper tests down the road, obstacles in my life blocking me from achievement, but now I also know that all I have to do is run through them.
This has been another episode of Youth Beat Radio. You can check us out on the web at youthbeat.osu.edu, email us at youthbeat@osu.edu, and find us on Facebook. I'm your host, Anna Siriano. Thank you for listening. Youth Beat Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio high schools, youth groups, and universities. It is sponsored by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, and local sponsors. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.